next speaker is Sarah Lyons, talking about the impact of planting date on the establishment and nitrogen uptake of winter cereals grown as double crop and corn silage rotations in New York.
Thank you for the introduction, and I hope you're not too confused. I'm not presenting on corn, soybean, or wheat today, but I am talking about a winter cereal and soil fertility. And again, my name is Sarah Lyons, and I'm part of the Nutrient Management Spear Program at Cornell. So first, I'm going to walk you through an introduction to New York agriculture specifically. However, a lot of what I'm going to present could be applied to a number of different systems. The objectives of our study, materials and methods, and the results. So the results I'm going to be focusing on are just data from the fall. So this is specifically how these crops should be managed in the fall for nitrogen uptake. So I'll be talking about biomass, nitrogen uptake, and some efficiency parameters specifically in the fall. So in New York, most of the forage production is centered around dairy systems. New York's a big dairy state. And the rotations typically consist of only one main crop per growing season, and this is usually corn silage for 3 to 4 years, and then rotated with alfalfa grass hay for 3 to 4 years. And because of all of the dairy we have a lot of manure, and it's not uncommon for it to be applied in the fall after corn silage is harvested. And this could pose a risk to nutrient loss over the winter months if there's no crop in the ground. And so double cropping in New York is a practice of having two harvestable crops per growing season. This has a lot of the major benefits of cover cropping, so erosion control, adds some organic matter. It can take up some nutrients left over from the previous crop in the fall, and it could possibly provide a safer window for applying manure in the fall if you have a crop in the ground. An additional benefit of double cropping is that it provides an additional forage yield in the spring. And specifically with these winter cereals, they're winter hardy, so they survive the cold months through the winter in New York. And you can add between 2.2 to 4.5 megagrams of dry matter yield in the spring, which could be a really, really beneficial thing for dairy farmers in our area. There are some challenges with double cropping in the Northeast. As I said, the winter months are pretty rough. Sometimes there can be a late corn silage harvest if the planting is pushed back for any reason. And there's also usually an early onset of frost in the Northeast. So this can make planting a winter cereal pretty challenging in the fall. The window for seeding winter cereals is anywhere between mid-September all the way through early to mid-November. And this planting window is specifically for surviving the winter, but this may not be the same window for optimum cover crop benefits in the fall. So we are interested in determining the impact of planting date, so how early you plant a winter cereal, and as well as additional N available to the plant on the growth and nitrogen uptake of triticale in the fall following corn silage harvest. So the winter cereal we're focusing on in this study is triticale. So we had trials at 4-year locations starting in 2012 going through 2014. And these were in both central and eastern New York. We used the variety Tricol 815 in our studies, and we planted it at 2.5 centimeter of planting depth, 19 centimeter row spacings, and 135 kilograms of seed per hectare. And these were drilled. We used a randomized complete split plot design. We had a planting date as our main plot, so each site had two planting dates. And then our split plots were the nitrogen rates. We had 5 different nitrogen rates at planting, and these range from 0 all the way up to 135 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. We had 4 replications at each site, and our nitrogen source was agrochain treated urea. We harvested the above-ground forage only in late November prior to a hard frost. We analyzed the above-ground material for nitrogen content, and we also calculated the nitrogen use efficiency and apparent nitrogen recovery for these plots. And we only harvested a small area of the plots, not the whole field. So nitrogen use efficiency utilizes the biomass at a particular N rate, so let's say that 135 kilograms of nitrogen, subtracting the biomass when no nitrogen was applied, and then dividing that by that selected N rate, so the 135, for example. Apparent nitrogen recovery is a similar equation, except that's focusing on the nitrogen content of the forage instead of the biomass, and that's a percentage. So the split plot analysis was performed for each individual location, so we kept our locations separate in analysis because they were a little bit different. And we used proc mix of SAS. We used replication in year as our random effects, and the main and interaction effects of planting date and nitrogen rate. So here are our biomass results, and I've separated them into the four sites, as you see here. First, I wanted to point out for three of the sites, when no nitrogen was applied, there was a main effect of planting date on biomass. So as you can see, for all three of these sites, the earlier planted date had more biomass accumulation than the later planting date, which was expected. They had more growing degree days. For site C, right around both planting dates, there was a very minimal amount of precipitation, so there was a little bit of water stress there, so we think that's why there wasn't the same kind of pattern early on there for that site. And as we move along to look at the nitrogen rate effect, so there were interactions for three of the sites. So for the earlier planted sites, when you add nitrogen, there was a yield response. For the later planted sites, there was no yield response when you add nitrogen. So that's an important concept to keep in mind. For site D, it looks like two of the dates are missing from site C and D's. But site D, the second planting date was only September 10th, so that was still a fairly early date. And there was a trend of an increase in biomass with nitrogen rate for the later planting date in site D. So to summarize that figure, there was more fall biomass produced in the earlier planting dates regardless of nitrogen rate, and I have the averages here. So if planted by September 20th, we accumulated 3.3 megagrams of dry matter per hectare. If planted after that date, we only had 0.6 megagrams, so that was a pretty big drop in yield there. And we also conclude that biomass is a function of planting date, and it can only be influenced by nitrogen rate if planted early enough. So here is our nitrogen uptake data. So we see a similar pattern as with biomass. So when zero nitrogen was applied for three of the sites, there was a significant increase in nitrogen uptake for those earlier planting dates. And again, site C has a similar pattern. Probably the lack of water around planting caused the zero N rate not to behave in the same way. But again, for the earlier planting sites, if you add nitrogen, there was an increase in nitrogen uptake for the sites that were planted earlier. And for site D, there was a trend for an interaction there as well. So if planted earlier, the plots had higher nitrogen uptake capacity than the later planting dates, and this is likely due to the increased biomass production for those earlier planting dates. And again, I have the averages here for the two groups. So if planted by September 20th, the plants accumulated an average of 70 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And then if planted after that date, they dropped all the way down to 21 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So that's a really important thing to keep in mind for management decisions. So if you're wanting some nutrient uptake in the fall by your crop, you have to really consider when you're planting the crop, because if you plant it too late, the crop might not be able to utilize additional nitrogen, and that's what we saw. Nitrogen use efficiency, so we only had one site with an interaction. The other sites had no significant differences between the nitrogen rates in terms of efficiency. However, across the board, there was a main effect of planting date on use efficiency here. And site D, there was a lot of variability in our data, so that would explain the lack of difference. The interesting pattern we see there. But again, there was no significant differences between the nitrogen rates for those. But this the main point to take away from this is that in order to have a more efficient nitrogen use, you have to plant early enough. Same for apparent nitrogen recovery. So again, this is calculated based on the nitrogen content of the forage itself. So if planted earlier, the apparent nitrogen recovery is significantly higher than if planted later. And as you can see, even some of our plots, like for site A, there was a negative value for apparent nitrogen recovery. And so in summary, only one site had differences in nitrogen use efficiency between nitrogen rates for the earlier planting date. However, there was a main effect of planting date on these efficiency measures. So all earlier planting dates had higher ANR and NUE, likely due to increased biomass, as we saw earlier, and thus they were more able to efficiently use the nitrogen that was provided. So in conclusion, if you plant early enough, triticale grown as a double crop or a cover crop can take up residual nitrogen or additionally applied nitrogen in the fall. Nitrogen addition did not influence biomass if you planted after September 20th in this study. And again, this study only had four sites, so in the future we would add sites with a greater range of planting dates so that we can really narrow down that ideal planting date for this crop. There are risks of nitrogen loss to the environment from fall-applied manure, and this can be lowered if the winter cereals are planted early enough. So next steps, for these plots, we also have a spring component, so we measured similar variables in the spring. So we want to evaluate the spring performance of the winter cereals when they're planted at these different times in the fall. And we also want to see if you apply nitrogen in the fall, how will this influence the performance of the crop in the spring? Will it influence how much nitrogen they need in the spring if you're managing it as a harvestable crop? So that's an important question we have. Additionally, we want to, again, narrow down that kind of planting date threshold. So if you plant after that planting date, you can't expect nitrogen use of that crop. But we want to make the date more specific there. And we also want to, so we use inorganic nitrogen for the study. We also want to determine, like, how does this behave when we're applying manure, which would be what a lot of farmers would be doing in the fall. So with that, I'll take any questions, and thank you for coming.
We have time for a question or two.
Yeah, so the question was, did we measure residual nitrogen after harvesting the crops? And for one site, we did for sure. For the other sites, we were working with one of our associates in a different site, so we're still trying to retrieve that data from him. But I'm pretty sure we did, yeah. So, yeah.
What would the relative maturities be of your silage corn? What would they average out to be?
So the question was, what would our relative maturities be for our silage corn? So in New York, we target a 35% moisture, and I think some people also target a 30%, between 30 and 35% moisture.
No, I meant, would there be a trend towards earlier maturing varieties to utilize?
Yeah. So we are looking at different varieties of the main crop. So we started a study this fall directly comparing a short season corn variety to see if that could help with this rotation, because timing is a really big issue for New York farmers. We're also looking at forage sorghum, because it has a shorter growing season, to see if that could possibly fit into this rotation better. But for now, we're kind of trying to figure out how this could work in a conventional corn system, one small step at a time. Yes. So the question is there any disadvantages for planting earlier? And there are no disadvantages. However, the main problem is that so the corn silage crop that would come before this often can't come off the ground in time to plant this stuff earlier. So right now we're just looking at, okay, what happens if you plant too late? Like, do kind of the benefits go down, which we see that they do. Now the next step is to see, okay, how can we kind of manage around this system to try to get the main crop off earlier so we can plant these crops earlier.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.